are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenzi. Welcome to the program. Put some money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Television Network. We've got a full house on the program today. It's Wednesday, which means Mark Lawrence joins us on the program. And I love Mark Lawrence. I sincerely do. I think I'm going to send Mr. and Mrs. Mark Lawrence a Christmas card this year to thank them for all the winners and thank them for the weekly appearances. Playbook.com's Mark Lawrence. We're going to run the gauntlet with Mark. We're going to talk about a ton of sports with Mark Lawrence. We'll talk baseball. We'll talk college football. We'll talk NFL football. Emery Hunt's going to join us. Footballgameplan.com will join us. So we're not talking World Series with Emery, right? We're talking football with Emery Hunt. Ricky Sanders will join us. I'm intrigued by Ricky's take on tonight's World Series Game 2 matchup. But we're going to talk fantasy basketball, DFS, full slate of NBA games tonight, a plethora of options for the fantasy player. You know, when you look at DraftKings and fantasy football, DFS fantasy football, you know, there's really not that many decisions to make. There are a couple of players in a salary range. There are a couple of players that you want to get in your lineup due to injuries. But for the most part, you know, there's not a million options. Basketball is freaking crazy, man. I put together a lineup, and I'm like, I like this lineup. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't have Ben Simmons. I don't have this guy. I don't have that guy. You know, and there's just so many different combinations, man. It's a lot of fun, fantasy basketball. We put together a lineup today, and we'll put the lineup up on the board, and I'm going to ask Ricky Sanders, what do you think of this lineup, and what did I do wrong? You know, what don't you like about this lineup? Now, for the record, the lineup I put together, it's a very value-packed lineup. I was basically looking for value guys, and I found one guy, and then I found another guy, then I found another guy, then I found another guy. So maybe I got carried away. Maybe my lineup is too value-packed and not enough stars in it. I don't know. We'll see what Ricky Sanders has to say. I look forward to talking some fantasy basketball. You know, I love the NBA. Last night on the program, I think we went 6-0, right? I don't know. Was it 6-0, 7-0? There were no losses, so I don't really know how many. I think it was 6-0, though. Pretty sure it was 6. We swept the board last night, which means we're freaking doomed tonight, man. Now, all these people are going to go, oh, he was 6-0 last night. I'm going to ride the picks hard tonight. You know what? We're hoping for the best, but we got a lot of picks today. We're hitting the NBA pretty hard. We got a couple of NBA props. Got a lot of guys have been asking me, Morenzi, I love your prop plays, but you're going to do NBA props. And sometimes not the props aren't released by the time, you know, we got to get the picks in a couple of minutes before the show. Today, we do have a full slate of props. They didn't have John Wall props up a couple of minutes ago, but they've just been posted, and we've got a John Wall prop for you because you know John Wall is playing tonight, right? You know, Lonzo Ball, you've been pretty much protected so far. You haven't really, like, faced, like, a top explosive point guard yet. And now, you know, you're going to have to face one tonight in John Wall. And John Wall's, at words out of his own mouth, no mercy. That's what John Wall said. What about tonight? No mercy. No mercy. Basically, you know, the Balls want to run their mouth. They're going to have to, you know what? You wrote the check. Now you got to cash it. And, you know, LeVar Ball was talking crap about how, you know, Lakers' schedule is soft this week and they're going to win all the games this week. Windsor's didn't take kindly to this. And it's funny to me that the Lakers are insulted. We'll get to this a little bit later on the show, but the Lakers are insulted. This could have been the intro. This isn't the intro, but this isn't our monologue, so to speak. But it's just funny to me. I want to get this out of the way. That the LA Lakers, for real, the organization and the players feel that Gortat crossed the line. Because Gortat on the Wizards tweeted out that John Wall will torture. He used the word torture. He said John Wall is going to torture Ball for 48 minutes. The Lakers are like, that's inappropriate. That's crossed the line. Like, you know, we're gonna have to speak to some people about this. Laker players are talking all kinds of smack now about, oh, you know, cross the line. We've got our guys back. Cross the freaking line. Yeah, like LeVar and Lonzo don't cross the line. So what's the deal with the Balls? We're starting to learn more and more about these guys. You know, they can throw it, they can dish it. But if somebody, you know, brings it back a little bit, you know, Lonzo looked like he was going to cry, man, with Beverly when his face was in. I can't wait. John Wall's in my lineup tonight. John Wall is going to torture this punk for, Not 48 minutes. I don't know, let's say 36, because it's probably going to be a rout, and John Wall won't be on the court in the last 6-7 minutes of the game. But nevertheless, man, like, seriously, it's comical. And, you know, and to be honest with you, I saw the LeVar Ball interview, which he did, and he was kind of being slapstick and stuff. And I even tweeted after the interview a couple of days ago, I said, you know, he doesn't even come across that much of a douche. He was actually more real. You know, I think the Wizards are sort of grasping at straws here, that he said the Lakers aren't going to lose this week. But with that being stated, you know, the Lakers, I don't know, man, you guys are coming across pretty punkish, man. You know, you're pretty punkish. You know, like, really, go in the court and do something about it. Don't cry about it. Ooh, Gortat said he's going to torture us. Torture us. I didn't realize that you guys were like, you guys going to be protesting with the anti people out there? What is it, the anti-FIFAs? You know, come on, man. Let's ease up a little bit. All right, it's like all these wide receivers in the NFL. Give me the ball, man. Give me the ball. I don't know. How about you get open? Pretty simple. If you get open, a quarterback, you think an NFL quarterback looks and says, oh, Martavis Bryant's open, but I'm not going to throw him the football. Come on, man. You know what? Put the pipe down, Martavis, for a couple of minutes and shut up, all right? Dude, I got to support my family. That's why I'm crying right now. You got $2.9 million. Did you blow it all on, what'd you do? You do a big fat line? How much money did you spend on drugs? Like, is the money gone? Like, what's the deal? Worried about your family? What, you got 14 kids? How many kids do you got? It's nice to see in today's day and age, right? $2.9 million. I can't take care of my family. Yeah, well, you know what they say about Clemson, right? Remember Eldon Campbell went to Clemson. And they said, hey, Eldon, did you earn your degree at Clemson? He said, no, but they gave it to me anyways. So, the World Series has to be. No laughs from Cameron Tujuh on that one. He says that's not funny. Hey, listen, Drew, Clemson's got a good football program, but I don't know if I want to get operated on by a doctor that went there. We'll put it that way. But, yeah, if I'm going to court, I'm not so sure I want a Clemson grad, you know, repping me in the end. You know, yeah, I'm going to have Sammy Watkins as my counsel. All right. It's pretty good stuff right there. Okay. You know what, though? Clemson next to Ohio State. You know, they're Mensa members. But nevertheless, this is the monologue. As the Dodgers win game one of the World Series, Clayton Kershaw is a dominant. And it's pretty funny. I don't know why. How is he good? Because he can't pitch in the playoffs, right? Clayton, oh, he can't pitch in the postseason. You know what? I think the stupid jackasses that say this stuff, they don't even know. They, you know what? Oh, yeah, so Clayton Kershaw lost a couple of games to the Cardinals in 2014. All right? The L.A. Dodgers are 8-2 in Clayton Kershaw's last 10 playoff starts. Yeah, I know. He's freaking terrible. Yeah, I know the three-hitter last night is terrible. Well, you know, that's just one World Series game, man. You know, the older I get and the more I talk to people and the more I read Twitter, the more I realize, like, people are really just stupid and don't know anything at all. Whatever the narrative is you throw out there, the public will jump on it. Dusty Baker's a horrible manager. I don't do it. I can confront people and make them look bad, and I always feel bad when I do it. You know, it's like the Jimmy Kimmel skit when you ask people dumb questions and they just look stupid on the street. I find it a little mean-spirited, all right? I know coming from me, it's a little bit out there, but, you know, it's amazing to me, though. People say, all right, Dusty Baker's a horrible manager. All right, name me two things that Dusty Baker did that you disagree with that makes him a horrible manager. Well, nobody knows Jack. Why is Clayton Kershaw a bad playoff pitcher? Has he choked every year in the playoffs? No, why? Tell me why is he bad. Well, because that's what I heard, right? That's what I heard somebody else say. He must be a bad playoff pitcher. Yeah, the guy was a bad playoff pitcher. He had a bad year in 2014, and his numbers have been skewed since. Yeah, like, it's comical to me, but whatever. We make money off of it, and that's why we bet on Clayton Kershaw and the Dodgers last night. So somebody asked me last night after the game, who's the best pitcher of all time? And it's amazing, but I choked. I froze. All right? I choked and I froze. I was like, and I was like all over the place. I don't know. I still don't know. I got asked this question about 14 hours ago. It's been kicking around. I've been spinning around in my bed. I didn't even sleep till 6:30 in the morning. I'm like, who's the best pitcher? Who's the best pitcher? Now, the best pitcher I ever saw, I don't know, Steve Carlton and maybe Clayton Kershaw. Is it as crazy to say that Clayton Kershaw is the greatest pitcher of all time? I don't know. He's pretty damn dominant. You know, for the record, if you look at the greatest pitchers of all time list, for the most part, Cy Young checks in. Sandy Koufax checks in. Nolan Ryan seems to be a pretty much consensus right up there. You know, great fastball, 7 no-hitters. But you get into the, you know, it's funny because people are like, well, Clayton Kershaw can't be the greatest pitcher of all time because of his playoff stats. Yet other guys can be the greatest pitchers of all time, despite the fact they never made a World Series before. It's actually kind of comical. It's an interesting debate, though. It really is. And I don't even know if there's a right answer. If somebody asks you who the best basketball player is, it's Michael Jordan. Hockey, Wayne Gretzky. Who's the best quarterback of all time? Tom Brady. Like, it doesn't take long to rattle it off. You know, you can up with Joe Montana. You know, it's always going to be a little bit of a debate. But for the most part, you can rattle off best golfer, Tiger Woods, Jack. You know, like, you just keep going down the list. Best pitcher. Can you just rattle off the top of your head? That's the best pitcher. I don't know. The best pitcher I saw, Steve Carlton. Guy was scary as hell, man. 30-game winner. Steve Carlton was nasty, all right? And you're wondering, I didn't even heard of Steve Carlton. But I'm sure a lot of you don't even know who Steve Carlton is. And, you know, it's because a lot of you were dumb. But, see, camera two, Drew, like that one. I was talking about him, not you, the viewer, him. Him. You guys are smart. If you're watching this show, you're a smart person. Steve Carlton, and it's not your fault you don't know Steve Carlton. Steve Carlton doesn't talk to the media. He never talked to the media. He hates the media. Therefore, the media doesn't hoist him up to be as good as as he should be, because that's the way the media jackals work. If you're nice to them, they'll be nice to you. That's the way that works. I look forward to asking a lot of our guests in the future. Who do you think? I'm going to put him on the spot. Best pitcher of all time. I don't think it's out of the question to slay Clayton Kershaw. Roger Clemens in his prime was damn good, man. Roger Clemens has to be in the conversation. A lot of people talk about Randy Johnson. Randy Johnson was really good. You know, top 10 probably, you know, in that range. Pedro Martinez, dominant. Sandy Koufax, a freaking stud. You got your Don Drysdales. But then you go back, man. You got your Walter Spahns and your Cy Youngs and stuff. But I don't recognize stats in a segregated world, all right? I don't care how many home runs you hit against a bunch of other white guys. You know, I'm looking at the whole talent pool, so I'm almost going Jackie Robinson and after. But it's an interesting question, isn't it? I ask you at home right now, if you're watching this and you're watching a video, feel free and please post in the comments page, besides Amorenci, you suck, post who you actually think the greatest pitcher of all time is. My two, Steve Carlton and Clayton Kershaw. Game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. We are live. We've got a great show lined up before you. Emory Hunt's going to join us. FootballGamePlan.com's Emory Hunt. We got Ricky Sanders, one of the best DFS players in the business. Mark Lawrence will join us in a second. This segment brought to you by Dober.games. Fantasy sports just got a lot easier to play and win with the hottest new games by Dober.games. No more long lineups or complicated salary caps. Create at least 3 matchups and you're good to go. Make any combination you want. Play quarterbacks, receivers. You can play NBA, NFL. You can mix and match different leagues as well. So basically, it's DFS fantasy, but they'll have players put up on the board, and you just pick over under fantasy points that they have listed for that respective player. You just have to pick 3 matchups, and you get paid 6-1. So it's like a three team fantasy matchup parlay, so to speak. You get paid 6-1, and what's great about it, like we said, there's no lineups, there's no I got to worry about 100,000 other people in the contest. You know, it sucks. You're in a contest. You look, it's like, man, I got to beat 378,000 people. Like, what are the chances of that happening? You know, the randomness of someone, having a great, perfect run is pretty good when you have 378,000 people. Great format over at Dolbert.games. Use promo code PUNT to enter a free contest with cash prizes just for joining. That's promo code PUNT. You can win cash fast and easy at Dolbert.games. Sign up now at Dolbert.games. Let's bring in Mark Lawrence, and we encourage you to sign up for Mark Lawrence's weekly newsletter, playbook.com, as well as the Daily Coffee Club briefing. And I really enjoy the daily briefing, and we're going to focus on the daily briefing today with Mark Lawrence. But we got a lot of stuff to get to with Mark. Sir, it's always a pleasure. How you doing?
Doing terrific, Gabe. After last week's Armageddon and the Superbook contest, I've survived. I'm back and looking forward to rolling my sleeves up and getting back at it again this week.
Yeah, you know what, Mark? It was an embarrassment last week. I'm not proud of it. You know, I'm part of a couple of teams, and I think the best team, I think we went 2-3 on one team, 0-5 on one, 1-4 on another, 1.5, we got a push, a win and a push on the other. And I was actually pretty disgusted with myself after the fact. And, you know, quite frankly, embarrassed, to be honest with you. But I feel a little bit better now knowing that I'm not the only one. I'm going down with the so-called sharps here. And, wow, Mark, 0-11 last week, the top 11 consensus picks. The so-called best bettors in the world were a bunch of idiots.
Well, I contributed to that game big time. I have two tickets in the contest. I went 0-5 on both tickets.
Wow.
Absolutely unbelievable.
That's unbelievable. So two contests, yeah, you couldn't come up with one winner. And look, me too. I'm part of four contests. And then we racked up three wins out of 20 picks. That's great. That's
hey, Gabe,
great.
If it was a 10-pick contest and I had two tickets, I'd have been 0-20.
You know what, Mark? I said the same thing. You know, 2 years ago, you and I, we tied for eighth. It was good. Right. So last year I stumbled, and I swear I even told some, and they were like, oh, you know, you have bad breaks. I said, no, I was just bad. I said, the picks were bad, man. And I said, even the picks that we didn't use, that we argued about to put in, they would have lost. Like you said, Mark, it's not even a case like where I'm sitting there after, oh, man, I knew I should have played that team. I'm like, you know what? I was going to play that team, and I would have lost that game too.
On and on and on and on it was. In fact, you know, over almost close to 2,800 entries in this tournament, in this contest, only 14 people had 5-0 perfect winning tickets. 14
wow.
out of nearly 2,800 5-0 tickets. That tells you how tough what a slaughter it was at the Westgate last week.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not even looking at the standings. I don't want to know. Because the way I look at it is, you know this as well, Mark. If we could go 5-0 this week, if you can go 5-0 and a couple of 4-1s, a nice 3-week run, boom, you're right back in it. And there's still a lot of football left, so I'm not going to worry about the standings now.
No, just focus on what's in front of us right now here this week. Get ready for this week and play it 1 week at a time.
All right, so Dodgers draw first blood last night, 3-1 win. We cashed a ticket with the Dodgers, and I was a little hesitant. I was thinking the game might be able to even go over. I thought the Dodgers might get to Keuchel yesterday, so I didn't play the total going in, but that's the beautiful thing about live in-game wagering, Mark. Once I saw Kershaw and Keuchel dealing, I was like, I'm jumping on the in-game under here. So it's nice. I cashed the Dodgers. I cashed an in-game under. And I guess all the talk about Clayton Kershaw being no good in the playoffs, people can shut up with that now.
Yeah, I'd say that, say the least. I mean, this guy is the best in baseball. It was only a matter of time before he stepped forward and really put his goods on show in the postseason in the World Series here. And in fact, I was a little bit surprised the price came as cheap as it did with Kershaw on the hill. I know it was Keuchel, but the bottom line is the Dodgers are cooking and Kershaw's pitching his best baseball right now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, Mark. I was on Monday night. I was doing, you know, the podcast, and I said, if you like Kershaw, bet it now. It's -170. I said, it's going to go up. And it went up briefly, but it came down and even dropped below 170 at a point. I was like, wow, people are fading Kershaw here. To me, it was great, great value. So before we get to tonight's game, somebody asked me actually last night after the game in the chat, Morenci, who's the best pitcher of all time? Because I said, what a dominant performance by Kershaw. And I was, you know, talking about how great he is. And, you know, they said, is he the greatest of all time? And they said, if not, who is the greatest of all time? And I did a little intro off the show, Mark. Somebody asked you, best basketball player, you know, Jordan. Best quarterback, Brady. Maybe Montana. But, you know, hockey, Wayne Gretzky. It doesn't take long. Golf, Tiger Woods, Jack. Like, each sport, you know, doesn't take long to identify who the best is right away. Somebody asked me the best baseball pitcher. 14 hours later, I still don't know. I'm sort of kicking this around still. So I put you in the hot seat. Top of your head, best baseball pitcher of all time.
Well, they call it the Cy Young Award for one reason, Gabe. It's Cy Young. He's the one that everybody, they model themselves after. He's the epitome at the top of the heap, just like Babe Ruth of hitters.
Yep.
Cy Young of pitchers. I'd have to say Cy Young, even though we weren't around to see his accomplishments and everything. Was it 511 career wins?
Yeah.
I believe it was. You know, that's really
tough. I can't argue that either. Listen, I got into it about goalies once, too. I was talking about Patrick Waugh and Marty Brodeur, and an old gentleman in Montreal called me and said, "You're an idiot. Best goalie ever is George Haynesworth. George Haynesworth. He had 23 shutouts in 1922. And I don't think they were allowed to pass the puck forward in those days, Mark, literally, all right? Like, I don't even know if they had skates on, all right? So I was like, yeah, I guess, you know, all right, I know, but it's like Red Grange and stuff, right? I mean, there's some great players yesteryear. So let me ask you, modern era, Mark, from the 60s up. So I'm not even talking just 80s, 90s, from the 60s up, growing up from a kid to now. I mean, did you see Bob Gibson pitch in person?
Oh, I saw Bob Gibson. He was really at the top of his game. I'd say he's probably top 10, but the one pitcher that I've seen in my lifetime that I would consider the best was Sandy Koufax.
Wow, yeah.
I know his career wasn't all that long, but he was absolutely dominating. In fact, to the point where you compare Kershaw to Koufax these days.
Yeah, yeah. You know who I brought up, actually? I'm 47, so growing up in the 70s, I've been going to baseball, you know, this game since 1974, when 4 or 5 years old at Jerry Park with the Expos at Olympic Stadium. But growing up, and I don't know if there's anyone been more feared since then, Steve Carlton.
Oh, yeah.
Nasty pitcher. Southpaw, Steve Carlton. And he doesn't get the love because he doesn't, remember, he's a grouchy guy. He doesn't like the media.
Hey, Gabe, when you win a Cy Young Award and you pitch for the last place team in the Major League Baseball, in the league, in the National League, and you win the Cy Young Award, that tells you what kind of stuff he had. He was absolutely terrific.
I believe the Phillies lost 97 games and he won 30 games on a team that lost 97. 30-game winner on a, like, yeah. No, he nasty, nasty pitcher. So I brought this up, too. I don't think it's crazy to say that Kershaw's among the best pitchers of all time.
I would absolutely agree with that. I know his career is relatively young. He's still got probably at least 5 or 6 more years to go to solidify that, but he's certainly on pace, and he's as dominating, as I say, as Sandy Koufax was in his heyday.
All right. And for speaking of dominating, and four appearances this year, 3 starts in the postseason, Verlander, 1.46 earned run average, over 24 and 2/3 innings, striking out 24 with just 6 walks. He's 9-0 with a 1.23 ERA in a Houston Astros uniform, regular season and postseason combined. But he's 0-3 with an ERA of over 7 in World Series starts. Meanwhile, we've got Rich Hill, who's been, you know, pretty good, actually, man. He's given up 2 runs or less in every start going all the way back to August the 29th. You can make an argument for both teams tonight that you're getting Justin Verlander at this price as an underdog. And then you could argue you're getting a red-hot, better baseball team in the L.A. Dodgers at minus 115 on their home field. Tough spot, tough game. What do you like? What do you say?
Well, cases to be made for both teams here, Gabe, as you mentioned here. And believe me, Houston knows that the World Series Game 1 winner has won the World Series 82% of the time since the wild card era began. So Houston needs this game like blood tonight, and they're sending the best pitcher they've got out there. I think Verlander's their ace right now as opposed to Keiko. Take a look at what he's done against the National League West in his career. He's made 12 career starts. He's won 10 of those as Verlander against this division here. He's never lost a team start against the Dodgers. He's made 2 of them, and he's won both games. I'm on Verlander tonight.
I like the under 7.5. I hope the Astros don't get to Hill because I think Verlander is going to be tough to beat. I think we have another low-scoring game tonight. And then when we get to Houston, I think we might have a couple of crooked numbers put up on the board. All right, Mark, you know, we were pretty conversationalist. Got a bunch of games to blast through, so we'll go rapid fire. I'll sort of throw the game at you. I'll rattle off some stats. There's a lot of stuff from Mark Lawrence's Coffee Club, so this is the type of tidbits that you're going to get tonight. NBA basketball, Minnesota Timberwolves at the Pistons. A lot of hype about the T-Wolves, not living up to it right now. Jimmy Butler's banged up. I don't think he's playing tonight. Pistons 4-0 straight up against the spread, last 4 against the T-Wolves, Mark.
Well, both these teams coming off straight up favorite losses, Guy, but and you got Minnesota loses at home to Indiana last night. I'd stay at home with the Pistons and stay with that series history here because I think Minnesota is still ironing things out.
Denver Nuggets in Charlotte. Interesting number that the Denver Nuggets seem to like Tuesdays for some reason.
Yeah, they do, and they're coming in here off a straight up favorite loss, which is another additive to their to the mix here in this reason for Denver on Tuesdays for whatever reason. But I like the Nuggets in this contest here as well. Off that loss as a favorite, I'll back the Nuggets.
7-2-1 against the spread the last 10 on Tuesdays. San Antonio Spurs getting it done without Kawhi Leonard. LaMarcus Aldridge is stepping up. It's funny, he's often criticized. I think he's a good player. I just think it's sort of a, you know, just trying to fit into this situation here. But Aldridge playing great ball. No Whiteside tonight for the Heat.
No Whiteside, and Waiters and Dragic are both wobbly right now. They've got injury problems right now. The Heat are not at full strength in this contest here. I'd still look at the history in the Spurs here. The Spurs are a better basketball team, I think, to the spread on the road than they are at home. Miami not up to 100% in health. I'd back the Spurs.
Spurs have owned the Heat as of late, 11-1 straight up and 10-2 against the spread against the South Beach boys last 12 times they played. Raptors at Warriors. Tonight, the number seems a little high here, Mark, getting double digits with a good Toronto team.
It does, you know, but Toronto can't win a game in Golden State. They've really struggled. But Golden State's struggling right now, too, Gabe. This is this after winning the championship syndrome, which they struggled mightily in 2 years ago when they beat the Cavs. They were a really poor point spread team the first half of the season here. I'm not interested in laying double digits with the Warriors here. I think they'll beat Toronto, but I think the points are the take in the side in the game.
Yeah, no Jonas Valanciunas for the Raptors. Keep your eye on the DeMar DeRozan situation, although it looks like DeMar's going to be good to go. Raptors have lost 12 straight in Oakland, going all the way back to 2004. We mentioned the Super Contest train wreck. We got to get back up on the horse. And I guess, no, I'm not getting on the horse. I'm going swimming with the fishes. I'm jumping into the tank. Listen, I know it's a tough spot. You got Matt Moore. But I think Matt Moore is a better ATS quarterback than Jay Cutler is. And how the hell can you justify laying 3 points with the Baltimore Ravens now against anybody?
Well, I know one thing, Gabe. The locker room in Miami is really upbeat these days with Matt Moore now the quarterback instead of Jay Cutler. And you're taking a look at the Ravens team that owns the worst rush defense in the National Football League. Look for Jay Ajayi to have a good game in this contest here. I'm with you. I like Moore and the fish in this game. I'll be swimming with the fishes with you.
How about some numbers courtesy of Mark Lawrence's database? Matt Moore, 20-9 against the spread as a starting quarterback in the National Football League. 10-4 against the spread as a starter on the road. Those are some nice numbers. He's going to make less mistakes than Jay Cutler will. You know, he's a little inconsistent over the long term, but I don't have a problem with Matt Moore managing things here. Mark, fortunately, we've got to get out of here. We can just do the whole damn hour, but time flies. We encourage people to go to the Google Store. You can get it on your mobile device, the playbook. You can get the daily newsletter, the Coffee Club. It's such a great information. It'll put you in the winner's circle on a daily basis. Thanks for the time, Mark.
Hey, Gabe, my pleasure. As always, enjoy the games. I'll catch you next week.
There's Mark Lawrence with us. Emery Hunt joins us next. We'll talk football.
If you're playing daily fantasy basketball on DraftKings or FanDuel this NBA season, you need to sign up for Daily Roto. Built by a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. Better yet, you can save 10% off using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium to learn more about their product.
Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. Let's talk some football. Talk a little NFL football and college football with Emery Hunt, who lives and breathes football over at footballgameplan.com. Emery, it's always a pleasure, my man. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Gabe. I always appreciate you having me on.
We always appreciate you taking the time to be with us. So I'm going to be honest with you. I thought for a second, I was like, man, is this the week, the college football rankings? So last night I was poking around, I'm hitting refresh. It's next Tuesday, next Halloween night. So next Tuesday we get our first college football rankings. And it's interesting because, man, to me this is the biggest week of the year so far in the college football grid. That 3:30 in the afternoon, you know, unbelievable, all those big games that are going on at once.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know it's going to be tougher for people that trying to decide which one they should spend the most of the time on watching. But all of those games are excellent. All of those games will be great. I think they really, the way it laid out for the schedule, it came, you know, we have ourselves some games where people can feel feel comfortable in what they're watching, both offensively and defensively.
All right, so let's jump in and we'll talk about the rankings and what you think as we go along with the games here. Alabama's cruising, so you know Alabama would have no need to talk about them right now, but we sort of have an eliminator here. Ohio State, there's no room for error for these guys right now. They can't lose again. They need to win this game. And truth be told, Penn State doesn't have a lot of room for error either here. You know, being the fact that they lose this, going to knock them out of the Big Ten. You know, they're going to the Big Ten Championship, etc. So, number three, Penn State against number six, OSU. The odds makers opened up OSU as 7-point favorites in this game, which surprised me a little bit. I thought that was a little high. The betting markets bet it down a half point only right now. What do you make of this football game? What do you think of this? How do you think this plays out?
I actually like Penn State to win outright. I think they have the dynamic playmaker at quarterback in Trace McSorley. Defensively is where I think people are not giving Penn State enough credit. They're one of the best defenses in the country. When you combine that along with the best player in college football right now in running back Saquon Barkley, I think you have to like Penn State's chances, and I really do. I think they win outright.
I think they're a better football team than Ohio State are. Yeah, I think Ohio State probably have, you know, Ohio State have the five-star and the pedigree, and they've got this and they've got that. But if we weigh out a scale of completeness from special teams, offense, defense, quarterback, running back, we go down the list, Penn State seemed like a better team to me.
Yeah, they are, and they actually utilize all their weapons. Again, with all those five-stars that you see Ohio State bring in, their offense is still one-dimensional and basic. So yeah. Penn State, with Joe Moorhead there, has done a phenomenal job in transforming that offense. And Brent Pry, the defensive coordinator, has an outstanding job getting that defense to play up to speed.
And, you know, they're really hungry. You can feel it through the TV. Penn State, they're on a mission. They're trying to crash the party. Franklin's doing a great job. Great. You can just tell the team chemistry's good. The play calling's good. There's nothing really not to like about this football team. And, you know, they're 7-0 straight up, but they're 5-1-1 against the spread, getting 6.5, 7 points, guys. And as Emery alluded, the offense, you know, JT Barrett just can't throw the football effectively down a football field. And I'm not, you know, singling out and blaming him per se. Maybe that's just not his style, but they don't run that type of offense. So if they fall behind offensively, I think Ohio State could have problems here in this football game. All right, NC State and Notre Dame. I would argue probably two of the most underrated teams in football, actually. You know, NC State, I'm not sure there's 13 teams better than they are. They're ranked 14. And Notre Dame, and it's crazy, I'm a Notre Dame hater, Emery. I'm a Michigan guy. It bothers me to give love to Penn State. But every week I talk to these sharp guys and these handicappers. Notre Dame hasn't beaten anybody. This team matches up well with them. I mean, hell, people wanted to take Miami of Ohio against Notre Dame, plus 21 last month. Notre Dame are an elite football team. Wimbush really does remind me of Tony Rice. I'm old enough to remember those days. It's just the same type of, you know, running and style. Like, he looks the same to me. I was like, wow, this kid looks like Tony Rice. And Brian Kelly's on a mission as well. He was on the hot seat. This is a damn good football team, this Notre Dame team. But NC State's real good as well. This is an awesome game, man.
I'm glad you brought up the Tony Rice reference. A lot of people don't remember Tony Rice, but that was one of my favorite players to watch run that offense.
Remember that championship game, Tony Rice versus Major Harris.
Yeah, exactly. Major Harris, one of the more underrated quarterbacks in college football history. Notre Dame's defense is phenomenal. So is NC State. I think it'll come down to who can stop the run. And we saw NC State have problems with a mobile quarterback in Lamar Jackson. That's all they're going to get from Brandon Wimbush. They're going to get him along with Adams in the backfield. It's going to be run, 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 stout defense, stout defense, stout defense. I think Notre Dame will roll in this ball game, quite honestly.
Really? You think they're going to roll them? Wake up reality check for NC State here, huh? You know, the Irish are 3-9 against the spread the last 12 times after playing USC. You know, so it's sort of that letdown after the fact. But, you know, when you're playing for a national championship and you're playing for a spot in the playoffs, I don't see really how you can, you know, it could be a letdown in this spot. So in your opinion, if you're a voter, Notre Dame a top four team right now, in your opinion? Like, I'd be hard-pressed to not put them in the playoffs as of now. And they're ranked ninth only. I think that's too low.
Yeah, I think right now they're about fifth for me. This will be the game where you say, okay, yes, they can get ahead and be in that conversation for the four spot. But one through six, I think Notre Dame to me is right at five or six right now.
Can you imagine if this keeps rolling and we have Catholics versus convicts, Miami, Notre Dame for like, you know, for playoffs type stuff, man? It's going to be crazy, dude. I'm telling you, it's getting an old school feel to it, college football, suddenly right now the last couple of weeks. I can see when I watched that Florida State-Miami game a few weeks ago, it's like, you know, I know Florida State are struggling, but just the feeling of it, I was like, man, this feels like the old days. Like the intensity of the crowd, the kids, you know, Mark Richt there on the sidelines with Miami. You know, I just sort of am getting goosebumps now just thinking back. And, you know, Notre Dame and Miami, they played one of the many games of the century that college football's had over the years. Yeah, great, great slate here. All right, this game not in the national championship implication picture, but I love the fact that you did a preview for it. And a football game, actually, New Mexico State. You know, these kids, I was impressed earlier in the year with this team's offense. Going into Arizona State, I was like, man, these guys are going to be able to score on anybody. You know, they're a very, very efficient offense. But, you know, it's hard not to pull for these kids. They're trying to get to their first bowl game since 1960, man. These guys haven't played in a bowl game since 1960. They're 3-4 right now. They're running out of real estate to get wins. And I tell you, Arkansas State's not an easy team to play.
And that's one of the best teams in the Sun Belt Conference, man. They totally obliterated my Raging Cajuns last week, 47-3. Defensively, they're excellent. And on offense, they spread the field. And they can attack anywhere on the field that they want to. Now, they don't really run the football per se. So there's an opportunity for New Mexico State to really force them to be one-dimensional. And I think what New Mexico State has to do in this game is just to come in and do a great job in running the football and owning the time of possession and really maximizing their possession. They also can't have turnovers. So when I see this plus six betting line, I tend to think that, okay, this is a close game for New Mexico State. This will be a close game. I don't see them winning, so I would say go ahead on and lay the points with Arkansas State in this one.
Did you see the Blake Anderson video with the joke? Because I kept hearing about, oh, he ripped it. I actually watched it. That's great stuff, isn't it? The punchline, because I was like, once, you know, it was sort of southerny and hokey. I'm like, when's the punchline coming? And he goes, no, if I want to be like my parents, you'd be losers if I'm in Arkansas. Yeah, I was like, whoa, great, great shot. Karma's a bitch, though. I remember Urban Meyer mocked Tom Herman earlier in the year, and then boom, the next week he took it. Yeah, be careful with that, Coach. Hey, Emery, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for the time.
Thanks, Gabe.
Here's Emery Hunt with us, man. We could have went on talking football with him forever. We're going to talk some NBA DFS when we come back. Ricky Sanders joins us next.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morenci. All right, we encourage you to head over to dailyroto.com, enter code FNTSY, get 10% off your DFS kit for expert projections, analysis, and lineup optimizers. Take your DFS play to the next level with dailyroto.com. Now let's bring in one of the best DFS players in the business. Mr. Ricky Sanders joins us. The big shot over at RotoCurve, the executive in the ivory towers. What's going on, Ricky?
Nothing. Just happy to be talking some basketball. Already has been an exciting run. Last night, the whole Jimmy Butler news, and to prevail even with it, just shows you the roller coaster that NBA is.
Yeah, I didn't think a coach was going to get fired 3 games into the season. It's been a pretty eventful stuff so far. But quickly, you're a big baseball guy as well. Game 2 tonight, Verlander versus Hill. Who do you like?
I think I like the Astros, but if they don't win this game, it's over. I mean, if you can't win with your ace on the mound, I think
it's over anyways, dude. Dodgers winning 5 or 6.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Okay, so I hate to do it, but we have to do it. I got to worry about my ratings, Rick. We got to pay the bills, right? Lonzo Ball. I'll just say his name over and over. Lonzo Ball. But Lonzo Ball gets dragged into this with Gortat and the tweet. that John Wall is going to torture you for 48 minutes. And I like John Wall doesn't back off on it. He goes, well, I didn't say anything, but yeah, no mercy tonight. There will be no mercy. And John Wall's open. He goes, yeah, I'm fired up. He talks a lot, and it's L.A. Of course I'm excited. And he goes, yeah, I'm going to put the pedal to the metal this evening. That's all in good fun. No big story here. But what surprised me about this is the fact the Lakers are crying, that they're like, oh, that's inappropriate that he used the word torture. And it's inappropriate that he called out a player like this. It's like, guys, you just drafted Lonzo Ball. You allow LeVar to stand courtside and run his mouth and do interviews on ESPN after games. So is it the way that works? You guys get to mock the rest of the world, but nobody can fire back at you?
Yeah, they officially lost their whole mightier-than-thou routine when you draft Lonzo Ball. You know his dad comes part of the package. And even though Lonzo's made some funny videos like mocking the way his dad acts, his dad is there and he's saying things, and you have to either avoid it or react to it. And I think the trash talking that's been done, the Patrick Beverly standing over him, that's just part of drafting Ball.
You know, that's the thing. And if you're Ball, you're a grown man. You can tell your dad to shut up at some point. You can publicly say, listen, I told him to stop this crap. I'm not down with it. I just want to play like another player. He doesn't do it, you know, so he likes it both ways. I just thought it was funny. The Lakers sort of went social justice warrior. It's inappropriate to use the word torture. And it's like, you know, really, guys, now you're really pissed Gortat off. And he's a tough dude. I got John Wall in my lineup tonight. I don't see how he had. Scoring's a little down, but the assists are up, right? 13 assists. The assists are going up, scoring down a little bit. And this is an opportunity against arguably the worst defensive player in the NBA in Lonzo Ball. Is he a must-start tonight, John Wall?
I wouldn't say must-start with all the options tonight. I mean, you're going to get point LeBron again tonight. That is tough to pass on. You get Harden in a fast-paced affair, and you have a lot of guys in the upper mid-tier, like Kemba Walker at home against Denver. But John Wall is certainly a good play. I mean, I think it's a small sample size, but somehow the Lakers' top 10 in defensive efficiency against point guards so far, there's no way that continues, considering, you know, the guys they have at the rim and, you know, Lonzo Ball defending. So I think this is a great spot for Wall. But I will say he has not done great in the extremely fast-paced games over the last 2 years. He's averaging just 48 fantasy points in games with a 230 total or higher.
Interesting.
So that was a little surprising to me. I thought that'd be closer to, you know, 55 or 60. But I do think tonight, I mean, he's got a safe floor of probably 45 fantasy points.
A couple of players that caught my eye, and I put Otto Porter in a lineup. Porter's racking up the rebounds, too. So you're getting the three-point shots and the rebounds. I like the numbers. Oubre's always a solid plug-in guy. He's going to get you to 25 points or so. Jordan Clarkson putting up some nice points for the Lakers right now, too, in limited minutes.
Yeah, there's an issue with a few guys you mentioned. Oubre's got Jason Smith back, so I think that's going to cut into his numbers. And Jordan Clarkson is Kentavious Caldwell-Pope back, who I think they're going to want to see some big minutes for him as a defensive specialist. So I don't think either of those guys are really on my radar tonight, although I will say Oubre does probably play some extended minutes compared to what it would normally be with Smith, because you've got, you know, a Lakers team that likes to play small. You get the Kyle Kuzmas of the world on the court, the Larry Nances. So you would think they want to match up with him, but I don't think those are the two best value options of the night. You can do better.
There's a lot of options tonight, Ricky.
Yeah.
There really is. I did this lineup in like 3 minutes. Literally, I was like, man, look at this value. Look at this guy. But when it was done, I'm like, man, I got to get a piece of Ben Simmons tonight against the Houston Rockets. I mean, you know, I'm betting a prop, actually, over 6.5 assists for Ben Simmons this evening. But enough of me. Let's rattle off players you're looking at tonight. Joel Embiid, Ricky Rubio, Rudy Gobert, Mike James, a big steal right now, Mike James, great price. James, Kemba Walker, James Harden, Jared Bayless, P.J. Tucker, and you got Ryan Anderson here. I noticed you're staying away from the Cleveland Nets game, and I wanted to get a piece of this, but the fact that Cleveland played last night throws me off a little bit. So tell me about why you like the players and who liked the best tonight.
I will say the news that came out, Dwayne Wade is out, so that enhances some of the Cleveland value.
So with J.R. Smith then, with who would you look at with him out then?
I think Tristan Thompson, who's starting, is a good bet against this Nets team, has been getting dominated by centers. Like, this could be a game where he has 6-7 offensive rebounds. So if you're looking for a value there, I think Thompson would be the guy who got enhanced for me. But, like, there's been a lot of news today. I mean, Shabazz Muhammad now with Jimmy Butler out again. He played 31 minutes last night, and 29 came in the first three quarters. So if it wasn't a blowout, I think you would have seen Thibodeau playing him.
How many assists did he have?
That is not his game. Let's put it that way. He does not like sharing the basket.
You know, just that's like an inside joke. Like, I have a buddy of mine. They're like, I swear to God, I don't think I've seen Shabazz pass the ball once in my life. Like, this guy, he could literally play 30 minutes without one assist type of deal, right?
I wonder if he was an only child and just didn't have to share.
All right, so so you're going Embiid. Embiid this evening. Monster night the other night, getting the Houston Rockets tonight.
Yeah, you have to look at the schedule when it comes to Embiid, because if they're playing back-to-back, you get either he's going to sit one of them out, or he might have his minutes limited at this point. Like, he's been vying to play. But this team doesn't play again until Saturday, and this is one of the highest totals of the night. And you look at Clint Capella, like, he's a solid defender, but if you can project Embiid for over 30 minutes for the first time this season, last year, 56 fantasy points per 36 minutes. This year, about 53 per 36 minutes, which it translates, you know, if we can get 31 minutes, that's about 44 to 47 fantasy points. With this fast pace, I think it just doesn't even matter, like, who's guarding him. You could put Capella there. You could put Hakeem Olajuwon. If you get the minutes for Joel Embiid, I mean, you got to play him. He's cheaper than Ben Simmons, and, like, you have to like Simmons here. But 8,800 is starting to get to the point
where
you need a triple-double or at least, like, a 25 and 10 to meet value. But Embiid does it in so many ways. I mean, he scores in the post, in the mid-range, beyond the arc. He rebounds, he blocks, he steals. So I love him in this fast-paced game. I know Capella, one of the better post defenders and against jump shots, but he hasn't faced Joel Embiid.
All right, we got to get out of here, unfortunately. But another player in this game that Ricky likes is Ryan Anderson. Trevor Ariza out as well, opens up more shots for Ryan Anderson. And Gordon's been struggling recently offensively as well. I saw some guys writing about Gordon being a play tonight. I mean, he's not in great form right now. I think Anderson is a sneaky, cheap play. Can bury some threes for you. Check out Ricky over at RotoCurve. Great stuff, as always, my man. Thanks for the time.
Yep, thanks for having me. I should mention Rubio Gobert, the stack tonight, I believe.
Rubio Gobert stack. Yeah, Ricky's been getting it done in Utah. The teammates love him as well. All right, we got to get out of here. Thanks for the time, Ricky.
Thank you.
We're going to come back with our plays of the day. We got a lot of plays, and we got some NBA props for you. We're going to combine fantasy and betting.
The award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network is your free fantasy source 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. You can catch this show and many others live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app, iHeartRadio, or TuneIn Radio. Want to listen on your computer at work? Go to fntsy.com/radio or check us out on YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page, where you can ask questions, discuss topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your questions on the air. The number is 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 days a year fantasy sports network of its kind without a subscription. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your fantasy source.
All All right, we had a great night last night with our plays today. Let's keep it rolling. We're going to keep it rolling with the Los Angeles Dodgers. I don't see any reason to abort right now. Yeah, I get it. Verlander's on the hill. You know, Verlander's 0-3 with a 7.20 earned run average in three World Series starts. I think Verlander's going to be good tonight, but the Dodgers will find a way to get it done in a low-scoring game. Give me the Dodgers and give me the under. No run in the first inning. NBA basketball. I got a lot of NBA picks tonight. Rockets and 76ers. Should be a high-scoring basketball game. Ben Simmons. Listen, Embiid's a freak, but Ben Simmons, the real deal. This kid's awesome. Let's go over 6.5 assists in a high-scoring basketball game tonight. Speaking of high-scoring basketball game, we're just going to keep betting the over on every Nets game until the totals get too crazy, only 225 tonight. I think the Dallas Mavericks can win this game outright. Upset special tonight. Give me the Mavericks plus four, maybe a little sprinkle on the money line. Give me the 12 with the Raptors. DeMar DeRozan's good to go. Wizards minus six, and John Wall's going to torture Lonzo Ball over 38.5 combined everything. Made it-